Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, he got him in the beak. Right by Bortolo, he got him in the face. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo. Right by Bortolo, right by Bortolo, got him right in the mouth.
What if Bortolo tried using his left hand? From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to Episode 16 of the Sens Call-Ups for Thursday, March 14th, 2013. The Senators broke their losing streak with a nice win over the Rangers, and then they got back to what they've been doing of late, overtime and or a shootout, with losses to the Bruins and to the Habs, but at least they picked up a point in each game. Things don't seem as bleak as they were last week, and K-Dog certainly gave the sports media something to talk about after the Boston game. Boys, good to be back.
You know what's weird about that? You get one win and then two overtime losses, it's okay. You get one loss and two overtime losses, everyone jumps off board.
I hadn't thought of it that way. That's
and scene. See you next week, guys.
I tell you what I want. I want my hour back. I don't know. That daylight savings times thing. It's, I don't know. It's just 1 hour, but this week I've been tired.
Here's a hint for next time. Go to bed earlier.
I can't. You guys keep me up recording this stuff.
Heyo.
Yeah, it gets old after a while. Anyway, how's your week been? You guys are at the Boston game. Anything else interesting going on lately? I know I missed that one.
My gosh, what is going on here?
I can't even remember the week.
I can tell you the bonehead move I did yesterday. We've had a couple mild days here. And the snow is starting to melt, and I'm starting to see the driveway and the blacktop start to expose itself again because I'm on the side of the road where the sun doesn't hit in the afternoon. So I got home from work the other day, and I decided to, it's, nice warm day. I start chipping away at extra ice and pretty much clearing the entire driveway. And instead of taking the ice and throwing it into the yard, I decided to just throw it all over the driveway because it's been warm. It's just going to melt right up. Well, we had the flash freeze and now my driveway is like an obstacle course. These big chunks of ice. It's like driving over a spike strip.
It's a military suspension testing zone.
Outstanding. That's brilliant.
Don't try that at home, kids.
Yeah.
Nate, guys, cobblestones.
It'll be gone this soon. It'll be gone eventually, but I have to admit this morning was, I knew it was going to be colder than it had been, but this morning, nothing quite like waking up going, oh yeah, and the wind chill is minus 21. What was that? Sorry?
Yeah. That was pretty cold.
Yeah, that was a rather rude shock, but it's March. It's, walking, I was out visiting a friend last night and walking down to the pub, it was, is it November? Is it March? Is it December? What the heck's going on? Because it was at one point, the snow was really, really coming down in Centertown for about 15 or 20 minutes. It was just, okay.
Oh, yeah, with a flash storm. And that was just weird.
It was
I started off in Barrhaven and I just moved, drove out east and then back downtown. And I hit that thing about three times. It was nice. It was ridiculous.
Lucky you. Lucky you.
Like, it looked awful from the sky, but then it would just melt right away. And it was still nice enough because I went out to the market yesterday and it was...
Yesterday you could go out without your jacket even.
Yeah, it was great. So today, it's like I left my gloves at home and I got...
March in Ottawa. Flip a coin for your weather.
If you don't like it, wait 15 minutes. It'll change.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Canuck, were you supposed to turn on that echo effect? Because I think people like that, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That was really popular last week, wasn't it?
That was a great job, wasn't it?
Those who can't teach, podcast.
Yeah, but if we can't podcast, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
That was just an all-around bad day, wasn't it? We lost to the Leafs, and we had the trouble with the microphones that we didn't realize till after we finished.
Oh, well.
And then stuff we were happens. All kind of down. So, anyway.
One measure once, cut three times, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right, game on.
It's Pi Day.
Give us the one for real, Pan.
For all you math guys out there, happy Pi Day.
Yeah.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Game on! I love that.
So I guess I'm first up. Game 25. Sens at the Rangers. It was a 3-2 win. Wow. Well,
see, before you jump into this, how do you like being the writer, editor, and producer?
I just feel like I'm a dictator.
One-man show.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'll get a beer. I got some time off.
So see, what happened here? Well, Robin Leonard and Nets. And we got off to a really early 1-0 lead from Zach Smith. Thank you very much, Zach, for waking up. And let's see. Here's my notes. Pan goes to the washroom. Then we're up 2-0 by power play goal by Weirkosh. And then about 13 seconds later, Nash scores 2-1.
Yeah.
And Pan comes back from the washroom like, what the heck? So that was kind of
the
first.
I didn't remember this game. I was in the can.
All the action happened for the can. It gets better. Phillips drops the gloves in this game. The big rig picks on a fight, and that was quite interesting. Well, sticking up for a hit on Jimmy O'Brien.
Yeah.
And we'll come back to this one, but Phillips picks up the 5-minute major, 2-minute for instigating, 2 minutes for instigating with the visor, and a 10-minute.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later because we all have some thoughts on that one.
It's coming
sure.
up again, yep.
Oh, yeah.
Second period, I believe, and I decide to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and it's 2-2. Brad Richards ties it up. So welcome back, Brad Richards.
Call-ups, get out of the can!
Actually, sorry, that's just the first period. It's 2-2. You know, from there on, the game kind of settled down. Interesting thing was Turris, no goals in his last 20 games. Very snake-bitten on his chances. Anyway, fast forward to dying minutes of the third period, about 4 minutes and 41 seconds to go, and ooh-ah! Silverberg scores 3-2.
Yeah, what a beauty, too.
Ooh-ah!
Yeah.
I think that was a hell of a shot, too, wasn't it?
It was. It was a fantastic shot.
I was so sick that day.
Turris had a chance on the empty net, and he passed it. So yeah. he keeps the streak alive. Robin Leonard was named the electric player of the game. Was it? That's TSN, right? TSN had
that's right.
And Turris has another shot at the empty net and he misses. So anyway, Sens win and game over. Now cut to curling as fast as you possibly can on TSN. So, and that was my recap.
To be fair, the game had gone beyond what they had allotted for it because it was a fairly long, the game started at 7 and they cut to curling at about a 9:45.
Yeah.
So the game had gone longer than they had expected, and they were cutting over to the Brier, wasn't it? Which is another big sell for them. So it was unfortunate, but they were over the time that they were expecting. Imagine if the game had gone to overtime; it would have been even worse.
I don't know. It just seems to be a common theme. You know, Sens won a big game. All right, now let's cut back to regular broadcasting.
Yeah, and what was my comment last week about how many games were playing at odd hours of the day versus some of the other teams in the league? Yeah, well, we all know where the importance of the Senators games lies.
I think anyway, it was something along the lines of...
You know what else there's about that?
No, because, we can get back.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's no East-West games this year.
Nope.
Yeah.
So the Leafs always play at 7 or 7:30.
Every single game.
Every single game.
Not just Saturdays. Every single game.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't do the afternoon games.
Consistently.
I guarantee you that, like, with the Leafs, you could do something like Major League Baseball. Have a game on a Wednesday at 2 in the afternoon. They'll still sell it out.
Oh, absolutely. They could have one at 8 o'clock in the morning and they'd sell it out. But, you know, they want to maximize their revenue. So, and that's what they get.
Cardinal, by the way, I think your comment last episode about the number of games that the Leafs play was something along the line of the Leafs play at 7 o'clock, lock, lock, every game.
Oh, all right.
Sorry, that's
we can always
joke.
Talk about it again later. Wasn't that good a point, so I'm not really going to push it.
Just anyway. Make it find the echo.
Okay. Well, that's all right.
Moving along.
I'm not the engineer. Moving along, game number 26, Bruins at Senators. McCulloch was out for this one. He had been in, but he was out. Latendresse was in to fill in for him. Regan's a healthy scratch, and Dogovin's O'Brien were in. First period.
Oh, come on, Latendresse isn't going to do that much, right?
No. He was. Nobody was expecting anything from him, and he fulfilled the expectations brilliantly. Yeah. Game started really, really slowly. I mean, it took 55 seconds for Latendresse to score on a breakaway.
Never doubted him.
It was a beautiful, beautiful pass from Gonchar, which sprung him almost at the blue line. Almost the Bruins line.
He can
line.
Just do this. It's like he doesn't have a 20-game lag of doing nothing, right?
No. It was beautiful. It really was. So 55 seconds in, Latendresse scores, and it's 1-0. Assists to Gonchar and Phillips. A little while after that, the Bruins hit a post because it was a redirect right in front of him, right in front of Leonard, and it got past Leonard, but off the post and out. No worry. At the 7-minute and 20-second mark, Turris gets the monkey off his back with a goal from... with an assist from Phillips. So, Turris,
what?
There we go.
It's a slump buster night.
It was back a slump buster court. Night. Exactly. Who else? Who else is going to be scoring? This is going to be crazy. Little while later, there was a delayed penalty on Smith for boarding. And the Robin Leonard was trying to cover the puck, and the Bruins were just whacking away at it, and they weren't blowing the whistle for probably 3 or 4 seconds, and Leonard was furious. Like, he just went over the ref afterwards and went, you know, how long do I have to cover this for? You know, it's covered. You're supposed to blow the whistle. But nothing came of that power play. No big deal. Just around the 12-minute mark, Neil got hit from behind by McQuaid, which should have been a boarding call, which ended up being a boarding call, strangely enough, but only... afterwards, Neil went head first, caught his chin on the dasher, and went down. And down pretty hard, and it would look pretty bad at the moment. And Wierkosz, got to give credit to Wierkosz, goes after McQuaid and got the takedown. It wasn't much of a scrap, but he got the takedown. And McQuaid gets 2 for boarding, 5 for fighting. And Wierkosz, who's, you know, defending our team's tough guy, good on him, 2 for instigating.
Yes, and.
5 for fighting.
Yes, and.
And 2 for fighting with a visor.
Yes, and.
Oh, and a 10-minute misconduct.
Yep.
19 minutes.
These refs should really, like, participate in improv with that whole game.
Yeah. So the Bruins get a power play out of what should have been, you know, a power play for the Senators. It should have been, or at least a wash. You know, if you want to give 2 for instigating, okay. So it's 2 and 5 and 2 and 5. But nope. Bruins get a power play out of it.
You sound like that old silly movie. I think it's Dude, Where's My Car? Where they're going through the drive-thru. Have you seen this scene? Where they go up to the Chinese takeout. They're driving through and they're giving the order.
I call it the food store.
Yeah. And the food store. And they give their order and then the person on the other end of the microphone. And then.
And then.
And then.
And now then.
And then. And then.
I've forgotten where that came from. Thank you for the reminder.
Anyway. I'm really glad that the league is cracking down on the player safety of our fighters, that they don't get hurt, you know, with someone wearing a visor. Because
yeah. Right. We'll talk about that after we get through the game recaps. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be the second most important.
Adam McQuaid too.
Right? Yeah,
and just talking about this for Weir Koch to go after Adam McQuaid. Adam McQuaid's tough.
He's punching above his weight there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised he didn't get killed, but
well, good on him for doing it. And yeah. You know, that certainly builds up a little bit of extra goodwill. Not that he's not a light guy already, but for doing that, I'm sure the dressing room afterwards was like, dude, well done. Brave, a little crazy, but brave. Well done. The Senators killed off that penalty kill. No problem. It was a strong period for the Senators. Lots of time in the Boston end, but unfortunately, with 44 seconds left in the period, Boston's fourth line scores. So, end of one period, it's 2-1. We're okay. I was a little bummed that they let in a goal in the last minute, but what can you do? Second period started off nothing particularly interesting happening, and suddenly there was a really ugly collision between Chris Kelly and Chris Neal. And it was... There was a lot of talk about it, especially in the intermission between the second and third period, and I really didn't appreciate the way that Sportsnet was positioning this. I mean, their question was, so how dirty was this hit? What? Hang on. That's not exactly an objective question. The question is, what did you think of this hit? Don't ask a leading question like that. And to be fair, I thought that... the panelists for, help me out here, the panelists for Sportsnet.
Kiprios.
And McLean. McLean started off going, well, you know, I think it might have been blah, 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 but he talked himself out of thinking it was a bad hit. And Kiprios really said, I don't think it was either. So I thought they handled it at least reasonably well. It was ugly, no question. And what's come out afterwards was that they were both trying to avoid each other.
Yeah.
Like they were literally I'm going this way. No, I'm going this way because that's where the play's going. And they changed directions a couple of times in, you know, split seconds, and they just couldn't avoid each other. And they both thought afterwards, I should have just hit you. You know, if we had just hit each other, we probably both would have been standing.
Yeah, like Neal and Kelly are your good friends. They go way back, right?
And they still train with each other in the off season.
Yeah. And Kelly was his centerman for years.
Yeah. Well, Chris Kelly still lives in Ottawa, you know. When he won the Stanley Cup with Boston on his day with the cup, what was the first thing he did with it? He took it to Chio. You know, he's a good guy, and he and Neal are really good friends, and they were texting afterwards, and there's no ill will between them. It's like it was just something that happened, and it turned out, you know, there's nothing wrong with his knee, but he broke his tibia.
Yeah,
that's ugly. That's gonna be a long
road back, and who knows? I think Chris Kelly is my age, 32. Yeah, because he was the 98 draft.
How tall are you, Pan?
Now.
Well, friggin', if Neal would have hit me there, that would have broken my sternum.
No, I just thought maybe you were advertising. You know, so.
Okay, you get You're points. That was good.
I didn't mean that to be negative. What color are your eyes? You know,
at 32 years old and coming back with a broken tibia, that's going to be real tough.
That's going to be a long one. It's not going to be a quick rehab. It's going to be a long one. But I certainly hope he comes back because he's a good player. I'd still like to have him back on this team, and I hope his recovery is complete because that was it started off being messy and it's just become. I don't want to use the word tragic, but it's certainly become quite serious just by the way things turned out. So that was a bit of a downer way to open the period. After that, it was lots of skating, a bit more flow to the game, but nothing particularly, you know, impressive comes out. Couple of penalties. Paille scored on a breakaway, just after a penalty expired. So that's another goal from the fourth line for Boston. And that was a semi-breakaway, like he was kind of broken in, and Leonard couldn't stop it, unfortunately. Near the end of the period, there was a couple of great saves by Leonard after a penalty taken by Smith for tripping. Everything was called off. And the couple of things that I noticed was there were a couple of times on a rush that Latendresse was having a little trouble staying onside. When he gets... I don't think he has necessarily a lot of trouble getting going, but he seemed to be having a little trouble slowing down to make sure that he wasn't over the blue line if people were zigging and zagging back and forth, because he's much more of a straight ahead guy. He's not a water bug. But that was the only real observation I had of things that were going on.
Yeah, probably just some timing issues then.
Yeah. But I mean, hey, he already scored 55 seconds into the game, so that's okay. Third period, there was a lot of time in our end to start the third period. A lot of time. Hamilton put a hit on Silverberg and took 2 minutes for cross-checking. Good chances on the power play, but no goals. And I don't know if you guys were at the game, so you didn't hear it. I think I was writing something down, so I wasn't really listening closely. I think Dean Brown said during this game that the Senators lead the league in missed shots.
What else is new?
With 340.
The sky is blue and it's slippery when wet.
340 missed shots in 25 games.
Yeah.
Yike.
Yeah. Most of them probably on the shootout too.
Easy. I did notice we were talking about faceoffs in the last episode and how things seem to be incredibly inconsistent with how they blow things dead and then they let another one that looks even worse go. And with just 8.5 minutes left in this period, Krejci never actually had his stick on the ice for a faceoff. Like, he was still holding it up and the puck was dropped and he eventually reached in with his stick and fished it out of the Senators player's feet. I can't remember who it was, unfortunately. And that wasn't whistled dead. No, that's consistent. Okay, that's all we need to know. Just before the end of the period, there was an interesting stat that came out. Coming into this game, the Senators had 100. This is one we used a couple of weeks ago. The Sens had 112 man games lost to injury coming into this game. Guess how many the Bruins had?
8.
And?
Injuries. Lucic was out for a bit. Mm-hmm. I'll say 15.
Well, Canuck wins. The correct answer is 7.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
To 112. Yeah.
7 man days?
7 man games missed compared to the Senators' 112.
Man games. Man wow. Game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Pan and I were at this game, and thank you, Pan, for the ticket. They kept flashing up during the game different statistics about the Ottawa team, like the leading scorer. Oh, look, it's Eric Karlsson. Assist leader. Oh, look, it's Eric Karlsson. And like most shots, most, you know, every favorable stat. Eric Karlsson's mug was on every single one of those things, if not the leader.
Still Karlsson? Yeah. Come on. Now, granted, luckily, now someone's going to take over on goal soon. Because
he's been tied by 2 other people, but. Well, he also won the scoring title in the Finnish Elite League. You know, the one he hadn't played in since December?
Yeah. Actually, Zibad probably took over the goals. I'm going to look that up.
Could Karlsson still win the Norris?
Oh, yeah. He won the Swedish Elite League.
Maybe. You never know.
Whoever does win it, their first statement should be, I'd like to thank Matt Cook.
Oh,
easy now. Easy.
Just saying.
Snap at yourself.
What do you think? You're a Leafs fan or something? You're going to put that up on a piece of Bristol board?
Just acknowledging that he probably would have won it.
Okay, but that's not the way to do it. Anyway, overtime. Yeah. Okay. Overtime, great pressure by the Sens, no scoring in the shootout. Silverberg missed. Seguin was blocked. Tourist scores. Bergeron scores. Alfie missed the net. Marchand attempted a 5-hole, but the save. Then we had that little lacrosse move from K-Dog, the one that had the social media world and the sports media world talking about it for probably 24 hours, even longer than that, actually, with his little tip of the stick down on the puck and pulls the old ringette move, and it almost worked.
Man, did that ever light up the internet.
He should have, if he had a shorter goalie, and I'm not making a height joke there, Pan, but if he had a shorter goalie who couldn't stretch his leg all the way over to the other post, it would have worked. But
actually, he had a big hole because of the stretched legs.
He had a big five hole, but the paddle was down. So yeah. I don't know whether that would have worked because he couldn't lift it up at all. But anyway, Krejci scores, and the Bruins have now won 10 games in a row at Scotiabank Place. But we get a point out of it. There was a lot of ragging on Dogovins after that game. I mean, primarily on Twitter, but there was a lot of commentary on the sports channels that I was watching. And oh, you know, that's not the way it should be done. That's an all-star game move. That's a, you know, that's a show-off move. That's not the way it should work. Well, let's see. Who came closer to scoring, him or Alfie and Silverberg?
You should skate down and miss the net like the rest of the Sens.
Exactly. And if it works, I don't care if he skates down backwards and, you know, flips it over in his, you know, hacky stack style between his skates and, you know, lobs it over the goalie's shoulder. As long as it goes in the net, I don't care.
It's
well, did you see Garriott on that one too?
No.
No.
He's just saying that if the season were to come down to missing the playoffs by 1 point, this would be the play to decide it on.
No, I think the play to decide it on would have been that game against Pittsburgh. Or, you know, the Spezza thing. Or, you know.
Every other missed shootout attempt this season by every other player on this team that's
like
taken.
Alfie going 0 for 6 in the shootout.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why he's still shooting and Zibanejad just looks like he's got hands.
Or Weirkosh, who scored in one recently. You know, that's a question for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyway, that game got a point out of it at least. And it was reasonably entertaining. What was the experience like in the arena? It was pretty good to watch on TV, to be honest.
I was shocked there weren't more Bruins fans, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game. Very entertaining.
That's good.
It was too bad they couldn't hold on to the 2-0 lead, but yeah. I mean, we're the pesky Sens. We kind of got ahead of ourselves. Like, whoa, wait a second. We can't handle this lead thing. We better give it back.
Keep yeah, we're not used to having a lead. Yeah. Weird, but that's okay. And
granted, I also really liked the last minute of play when he just kept looking back at Matt.
Yeah.
come on, score so that this guy can get more burgers.
They make the announcement for the Big Mac minute, and I just happened to turn around. He's like, what are you turning around looking at me for? Don't look at me.
Poor guy.
Nice. Well, I was actually trying to give him the stare eye, saying, it's on. If we're if we're running around for tickets, you know, you're going to have to fight me.
I've got a family to feed.
I've got a family to feed at home.
Nice. Well,
hey, getting on this Dog Evans thing, I mean, it just, I'm sorry. I'm on the side that I liked it. I thought it was entertaining. It's too bad he didn't score. As soon as he put the stick down, I knew exactly what he was doing because I'd seen the videos before of him doing this in the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew exactly what he was going to do. I actually ripped out my phone and was videotaping it. And, you know, I listened to the video. I don't have it. I must have deleted it. But everybody was excited. And Trent, you know, it wasn't – people weren't just shocked in the arena going, oh – boo, you know, they were cheering afterwards. He came very close.
You get it's that something in there. Different, but it's also a tell because you know what the move is.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing.
I think
he's
got a couple options with it, but they're tough.
Well, if he went down 75% of the distance to the goal like that and then pulled it, you know, suddenly turned his stick over and then up it goes. He could certainly do that. And I mean, it's only a tell for Senators fans who've actually seen the video of him doing that in the AHL, because I'd say 90% of the NHL goalies have never heard of Kasper's Dog Evans. And if they have, they don't expect him to do that. Oh, he's done like, he's got a shootout. You know, he always goes to high glove side or whatever. They're not expecting the ringette move.
Look, it's the kind of move that you know, and he knew it. Before he did it, if I don't pull this off, I'm going to be wearing the goat horns. And he owned up to it. He said it. I look like the fool because I didn't get it done. But, you know.
Imagine if that would have gone in.
Exactly.
Oh, it would have been hysterics. It would have been
just a lot better
crazy.
Than Silverberg. Yeah, was Silverberg just wiring it out of the arena.
Exactly. So, you know, he can't win no matter what. No matter what. Even if he had put it in, then all the purists would have been saying, oh, that's not a hockey move and that's not the way traditional hockey is played. Here's a news flash. Shootouts aren't the way traditional hockey
exactly. Think of those shootout goals you've seen. Patrick Kane did one last week or earlier in the week where he almost came to a full stop coming in. I mean, that's just almost as gimmicky too. I don't know.
Exactly. It's stupid.
McLean had some funny comments on it. Did you hear it?
Oh, he's had a couple of good ones.
Yeah.
One today was apparently he's got another move like that I just have to tell him it's okay to do it and he'll do it, but I don't even know what it is.
Really? Got some amazing things trending on Twitter, like Dog Evans' next shootout attempt. You know?
Oh, yeah. It'd be crazy. Anyway, I thought it was entertaining, and I'm okay with it. So we'll let our listeners chime in on this one as well, what they think of it. Let's go. Let's get on to the next one. Game 27, Sens at Habs. Beginning of this game, I thought the funny part of this, the beginning of this game was Georges St-Pierre was dropping the puck for the ceremonial face-off because there's a UFC event this weekend in Montreal. And one of the TSN commentators said, oh, yeah, he and Giant are about the same size. well, height, maybe. I don't think Brian Giant is built like GSP, who's built like a tank. I just thought that was one of the stupidest things I'd heard somebody say in a while. No, they're not the same size at all. Just might be the same height. Anyway, Ottawa was number one in goals against and save percentage in the league going into this game. Thought that was a good start. Good stat to start with. The first 5 to 7 minutes of this game, not much happened. It was back and forth, but it wasn't anything particularly interesting. Right at the seven-minute mark, Ehlers scores. So it's 1-0 for Montreal. Which wasn't great, but there we go. And 8.5 minute mark, Armstrong took 2 minutes for tripping Zach Smith. And the beginning of this power play was not good. Ottawa was barely getting into the zone. It was being flipped right back down to our end. In the last about 45 seconds of it, Zibanejad made a great setup for Benoit. And Benoit just rifled it, but Price made a save on it. But in the very last few seconds of it, Zibanejad scores.
Man, well, is he ever waking up.
Oh, yes. And it was just another brilliant shot. His release is almost as fast as Silverberg's. It's very quick. And so Zibanejad scores with assists to Silverberg and Neil. And it was one all. And it was like, okay, this is better.
You got to admit, last year that Sens fans were probably thinking, oops, maybe we should have went with Sean Couturier.
There was a lot of talk about that, especially at the time of the draft. We're taking this guy and we didn't take Couturier. And then last year, yeah.
Mika.
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 Spinager.
Spinager.
Mika.
Spinager.
Last year, Couturier was tearing it up, but this year, not so much. And I think it's going to be in the long term, it'll turn out to be a much better pick to have Zibanejad instead.
Yeah, I don't know. I think losing Yager probably hurt a bit too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, because quietly, Alfredsson and Zibanejad now lead or tied with leading the team in goals with 6 each.
Oh, they caught up to Carlson.
Yeah.
3 Swedes. Nice. Just have to get Silverberg up there now. The one thing I noticed in this period was that Leonard wasn't letting out any rebounds. He was just a big marshmallow. Anything that hit him, it was there. He had it in his glove. He had it, you know, held against his chest, whatever. Carey Price was letting them out all over the place. It was almost like he was armor plated in iron and everything was just bouncing off him. He couldn't control those rebounds at all. Late in the period, nothing else really happened on the ice, but the interesting thing from the commentary booth was, again, I don't remember which person it was from TSN, said, oh, I can't recall a team that's undergone such a fast rebuild as Montreal. How about the team they're playing? Dimwit?
Well, they're having a very much
I think
a year.
It's the position, too.
Yeah, they're having a There's year like from, Ottawa did last year, right? They go well, from end
not,
to...
But they're also like leading the division.
Yeah.
Well, Ottawa was only leading the division for, what, a couple of days last year? But we were right up there after being almost DFL in the entire league. So, I don't know. I just thought that was a little biased. That's just me. Anyway, that's the end of the first period. Ottawa, you know, we're not on top, but we're certainly doing pretty well for a team missing as many top players as we are. Second period, let's see. Penalty called on Stone, and Pacioretty scored on the power play after he was basically walked in from the top of the faceoff circle almost to the bottom of it and just wired it 5-hole on Leonard. Leonard didn't have much of a chance because there was a blown coverage on that. Both defensemen were over on the other side of the net. It was unfortunate, but stuff like that happens. Greiba was called for cross-checking the 15-minute mark or so. And Subban got a power play goal on that power play. And that was the first time the Senators have given up 2 power play goals in a game this season, which I thought was a pretty amazing stat. I knew our penalty kill was good, but I didn't realize we'd never given up 2 power play goals before. Just over 2 minutes left in the period. Emelin took a 2-minute penalty for interference. And with 1.5 seconds left in the period while on the power play, Alfie scores by ringing it off the back crossbar in and out so fast.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And he's right there. I mean, obviously, Alfie's right by the goal when he scores it. And the referee behind the goal is waving it off. And Alfie's going along with his hands in the air like, yeah, I did score that. You can go look at the tape.
Yeah. He scored. Even goes along the bench and, you know, fist pumps everybody. He had no doubt.
He knew it had been in and out. And sure enough, it was with, now right that was at the 1958 mark. So there was a face-off with 1.5 seconds left in the period. At the 20-minute mark of that period, Daugavins and Armstrong got 2 minutes for unsportsmanlike. I didn't see that.
Oh, they were going at it.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah.
I just saw that in the box score and I went, I don't remember this.
They were chirping pretty good.
Okay.
Moen, you'd expect that from Daugavins. He's doing something else.
Yeah, he's got some feist in him these days. He's getting feisty. Third period, just under 2 minutes in. Weerkosh shot an innocent looking, like he's in the slot, but he looks like he's just trying to get a shot on net, and he wires it. Five hole with assist to Benoit Smith. And it's like, ooh, okay. Wasn't expecting that. That's awesome. Tie game. That's great. Then the Habs get three straight power plays on some things that were pretty weak calls. Like, I can see the Weerkosh hooking call, but there should have been a diving call on that at the same time, because that was the weakest looking hook to bring somebody down I've ever seen in my life. It was more like a, I'm just reaching my stick around and you grabbed it, put it into your stomach and then fell over kind of thing. Pretty pathetic.
Well, wait a second here.
It was Montreal typical.
Got some power play attempts?
Yeah, it was Montreal typical, to use a...
It's typical! Montreal typical!
I'm sorry, Montreal fans, you're dumb. The ones in the arena there are just like, every time Hab player falls or gets hit, so it's boo and just utter disgust with what's going on. Do you not follow hockey? Do you not understand what happens?
I was laughing that there were a couple of instances where a Hab would go to check a senator and would bounce off the senator onto the ice, and they're calling for a penalty. I'm like,
it's typical! Montreal typical!
He threw the check, and he ended up on the ice because he didn't throw a very good one, but...
And the fans are booing.
Yeah. Oh, that should be a penalty. For what? Being stupid?
Typical! Montreal typical!
I could play this all night if you want.
Well, it would certainly be fitting in a couple of instances in the third period, to be sure. Late in the third period, tie game. I noticed one line combination out there that really, it shows the kind of trust that Paul MacLean has in every single player on this team. Because the three forwards that were out together, Stone, Zibanejad, Silverberg, combined age, 61.
That's like your age, right, Kurt?
Easy.
Oh, zing.
Easy there. No, thank you very much. I just have wisdom beyond my years, not age. I just thought that was amazing. You know, three.
I thought it was your hair, but hey.
Moving on. overtime solves nothing. Of course not. So we're going to a shootout, of course. Just
we
like
got
the
a point.
The senator's
typical. Senator's typical.
Yeah, exactly.
The senator's Twitter feed. Oh, we're going to a shootout. Of course. Of course. I'm like, I think the senator's feed is now being channeling their inner stoolie.
So we're sending out Daugavins again, right?
You know what would have been great? If every single one of the Sens players would have started off with their stick like that too.
Oh,
that'd be awesome. I don't see that, but that'd be awesome.
Some things are worth throwing a point for.
Yeah. Now, the only senator to score in the shootout was Silverberg. But Alfie didn't score and Turris didn't score, while Eller and Galchenyuk did. Galchenyuk had the slowest shootout approach I've ever seen. I think he took about two strides and then just cruised the rest of the way in, you know, then like first gear.
I'm sorry, but Robin Lehner, I'm giving him all the slack because he, he's only played a few NHL games, but he's looking terrible in the shootout. I'm not worried.
He knows it, though.
I'm not worried about it, but he really is.
Yeah, he's really bad.
I think he's just not used to the speed of the league.
Yeah. I mean, and free pass on the stuff that, you know, New York Islanders, what's his name? Tavares, you know, that kind of move. Okay, fine. You know, you can undress the best of goalies with that kind of stuff, but just giving up the five hole and, you know, not coming out to challenge and that sort of thing.
Either that or he challenges too far out, so he loses his timing. I think you fake him out, and he just jumps for it.
Yeah.
Well, he even said that last
week. And everyone knows it.
I'm not surprised that Bishop is the better shootout goalie because he's so huge, and, you know, he just takes up so much of the net that when you're coming in, you just, what do I do? Where Robin Leonard is more of a, you know, he's smaller than Bishop, obviously, but he's also more of an athletic guy, so...
He's also been doing it for longer, if nothing else. Like, he's had more years of experience with shootouts. Maybe not at the NHL level, but he's just been doing it longer.
I'm sure he feels terrible about it. Like, his record is like one win and now, like, what, four overtime shootout loss?
Yeah.
105?
105.
Jeez. Poor guy.
Pretty sure that's right.
Hey, he got us there. I have no problem with Robin Leonard. Like, people were jumping on him after this game, too. It's like, lighten up, people. He got you there. He got that point.
These are the same people who are jumping on K-Dog for his, you know, all-star game shootout attempt, and they're jumping on... They'll jump on anybody that doesn't get them. You know, they'll blame anybody for not getting a win, and, you know, it's always somebody's fault. Whatever. Not real fans. They're fans of winning, not fans of hockey. That's all I have to say.
Pretty good week, though, eh? 4 points out of six?
Yeah, well, since our last podcast, 4 points out of six.
If you look at our last 10, we're actually pretty good.
And you know what the best part is about these three-point games against Boston, Montreal? Leafs suck!
Well, I can say that again.
I was trying to figure out where you were going with that, but all right. I'm good with that.
The people in Toronto must be just cringing at these three-point games and these, you know, call them what you will. You can call them loser points or whatever, but, man.
Well, they could get them too, but they're not. So, sucks to be them. Sucks to be them. Other news with the Senators these days. The other day, the Senators traded for Matt Cassian. Sent a sixth-round pick over to Minnesota.
The Cassassin.
The Cassassin, exactly. Next year's. When I first heard it, I went, Cassian? No.
Yeah, you were really excited.
I was thinking of the wrong one. I admit it.
Yeah, that's what I just texted you. It's like the good Cassians in Vancouver now.
Yeah. Well, I was remembering, I knew who this guy was. I was just giving some of the attributes of the other one to this one. I knew this guy was a monster who was a fighter, but I was like,
see, Cardinal, isn't that how the Leafs ended up with Jeff Finger?
Hey, I didn't sign him for 4 years. But Jeff Finger, there isn't another player named Finger that they just bought they took Jeff instead of Steve. No, there's no Steve Finger. They made it even worse than that. But he's a big boy. He's 6'5", 230 pounds plus. Doesn't have a lot of time in the NHL. But
he a goon? That seems to be the...
Yeah. He's the nuclear deterrent role. Yeah. And if you look him up, he's had some pretty big scraps in his time.
I have some mixed reactions on this. We'll wait and see him. I think some of the best comments that are coming out were just the fact that the Senators are one of the few teams in the league where the average time on ice, you know, is 10 minutes or above for everybody. So, like, we're really good at kind of playing all of our lines. And if you take someone on with a role who only plays like 5 minutes or something, it's going to kind of mess that up. But this was a low risk trade. So let's watch it, you know?
You know what my problem is with this one is yesterday, and I caught some flack on it on Twitter, but we haven't talked to you guys about it. But Ben Eager got put on waivers.
Yeah.
He's got 2 years left to 1.1. He's a local boy. He's pretty much like a Chris Neal with a very short fuse.
And bigger too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe Brian Murray didn't know that Ben Eager was going to be made available. Because I don't know.
Do you not make multiple calls instead of just continuously calling Minnesota?
Oh, I'm sure I would presume he would. I would presume he would. But there's also, Cassian's half the cost.
No. Eager would have been no cost. You pick him up on waivers on the way down.
Maybe Murray just keeps calling Minnesota just to say, hey, how's that All-Star working for you?
Which one?
Freaking All-Star.
Oh, the freaking All-Star. Okay.
You know, Mr. Heater himself. Actually, he's not doing too bad, is he?
I have no idea.
It's not 50 gold material anymore, but.
Yeah, I don't care. I have no idea.
Minnesota's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's in the lineup every night.
No, he won't.
I think he's going to be in games where.
Like a McGrattan kind of role or what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
In the game where there's the. He doesn't actually have to scrap somebody, but if, you know, playing a team which is running around a little bit or is known to run around. You know, if you do. Now,
this guy brings nothing else to the table.
Not a whole lot.
And this is where I think a guy like Ben Eager would have helped out a lot more.
Would have been nice, but who knows? Maybe Brian Murray knows something we don't. Yeah. You never know.
And I have connections to Ben Eager, so we could have gotten him on the podcast.
Still could.
All in all, this is an extremely low-risk trade, so I'm not going to get worried about it. If he doesn't pan out. Sorry, Ben.
No, I'm not worried about it. I think it's probably the right move that, at least for a few games where we're missing something like that, I'm okay with it. We'll see. Our fourth line is pretty fluid as it is. So take somebody out, put somebody on. They may not be able to play a regular shift as the fourth line, but they can move them into other places and have them more doing penalty kill or whatever.
Is this guy on a two-way?
One way.
Oh, so we're stuck with him.
Okay. One way and this year and next year.
Okay. Did Stone have to come down?
Stone was sent down today.
Okay. Well, I know the roster spot, but.
Now, actually, that's a good point because also today the Senators signed an overager playing for the Portland Winterhawks in the WHL by the name of Troy Rutkowski, who was originally drafted by Colorado, I think. But not signed.
Is this anything to help out with Binghamton?
I would presume so.
Can he even play this year in the AHL?
He's an overager. He could. The problem is Portland is probably going to go to the Memorial Cup. They are a stacked, stacked team. Well, they have Seth Jones and I just blanked on the other guy who's forecast to be a top five pick.
I don't know.
So they're a stacked team.
But they're playing, okay, so they're probably going to go deep.
Yeah, so they signed him for 3 years. The problem is we're now at 50 contracts. We, the Senators, are now at 50 contracts. They're at the limit.
Yeah, so, this is some weird case, right, where you can't sign anybody more else?
No,
yeah.
You can't sign anybody else, especially with university or U.S. college free agency period coming up, where there are a couple of people who might be interested. I mean, we've pulled
really
players out of that before.
On that then, eh?
Yeah. So unless we can ship out a contract or two somehow, I mean, you never know. Somebody might be looking to pick up somebody from us the way that we picked up Cassian. So you never know.
There's a few trades going on. I see I think Philadelphia's one, like just kind of salary dumps and contract dumps and that sort of thing going on.
Yeah.
We'll probably see more of that around the league.
Yeah.
Hmm. No, that's neat because the UFAs for the team, coming up for the summer, we've got Alfie. Well, he's 7 years left, right? Guy, which I don't care. Regan, which I also don't care, but he can be useful. Gonchar, he's just obviously gone.
Lundin.
Mike Lundin, Andre Benoit.
Mm, yeah.
So there really aren't that many guys. I wouldn't mind having Benoit back. Granted, if we can get Borvievsky up, I'd be happy with that too.
Yeah.
Well, Benoit wasn't originally signed to be up here. He was signed with a very lucrative AHL contract to be, you know, the leader down in Binghamton. He was making.
No, he's done well. But do you think CeCe would be up at the AHL next year? Right.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a leader down there. He's going to be a kid.
No, but these guys aren't going to fit anywhere.
There's space in the AHL. I mean, even if you have Borvietsky and Benoit and CeCe down there, Greiba, I expect, will be up next year. Claussen will be down. And I'm trying to think of who the other... I've been following Binghamton really closely lately, so I... And there's been so many players going in and out
it's
of that
because
lineup.
Because Binghamton's up here. So we have been following them very closely.
Well, that's true. That's
Hugh Jasmine's probably done now, right? Would you be done with Hugh Jessamyn?
He's been actually a very valuable player for them down there. He's fit in very well. He was originally brought in just to be a big guy and not just because of what his first name is. But he's actually been playing very well down there, and he's been a very integral part of their success. Like, when you stop and look at it, how many Binghamton players or players who were expected to be in Binghamton this year are up here? And they're still 1 point out of first place in the entire league.
Yeah, they're defying logic down there. Like,
I don't think we're going to be able to keep Luke Richardson as a head coach very long.
Yeah.
He's doing such amazing work down there that, I mean, good on him. Don't get me wrong. But what he's been able to pull off with that team is astonishing. Like, signing people to professional tryouts and amateur tryouts and bring this person over from Elmira. And it's just been all over the place. Just astonishing what he's been able to do.
I think we'll probably need another update from Ben soon.
Well, I'm waiting for Ben to get signed down there to play.
No kidding.
You know what we forgot to mention? Going back to the game summaries. At the Bruins game, Pan and I got the opportunity to meet Gabrielle, in the forums. So,
The Bonk jersey winner.
Yeah, the Bonk jersey winner from one of our very early episodes. So, nice meeting you. And sorry you didn't get to see the Sens win. She drove up from Toronto, right? Yeah, Toronto. Yep. I think she said the last game they were at, they lost in a shootout. And sorry I had to see that again, but hopefully you enjoyed the game. It was a pretty good, entertaining game.
Any neat little piece of trivia that I picked up the other day. Out of the last seven seasons, how many games has Chris Phillips missed in total over the past seven seasons?
That is great.
Done?
Not quite.
You ruined the game.
The correct answer is three. Three games in seven seasons.
What's his number?
I was four.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I heard that, I went, yeah, I guess he is pretty much of an Iron Man. I keep forgetting that.
Now, a little bit of devil's advocate. There have been a lot of games that he hasn't shown up for.
I knew you were going there. But I opened the door and I let you walk through.
Yeah.
One last thing for the Senators. We can move on to talking about the rest of the league, but because there's lots to talk about in the rest of the league, especially some of the things that we didn't talk about during the game summaries. Ottawa Senators draft pick François Brassard, who's the goalie for the Quebec Ramparts, QMJHL first star player of the week.
Get him up for the shootouts.
He registered his 30th win of the season, which is, believe it or not, second.
30, that's incredible.
Well, no, the league leader has 42.
Oh, jeez.
But he had a really amazing weekend with goals against of two, save percentage of .944, and averaging 36 shots a game over a weekend of three games. So good on him. So we have, and I haven't checked the stats for the guy playing for the Hitmen. Unfortunately, I ran out of time, so I don't know how well he's doing. But so we do have goalies coming up that we may have even more goalie controversy coming up sometime soon. Anyway, I wanted to get back to something we got away from, or we deliberately set aside during the game summaries, which was the fighting with a visor question. I know, Pan, you were itching to talk about this one because you were sort of leading Canuck and I along during our game summaries about it. So fighting with a visor is a 2 minute plus 10. And that's actually a rule, right, Pan?
Because it's instigating with a visor. So it's two for instigating. Two for instigating with a visor. So don't forget that either, right?
So what do you think the intent of that rule is? Because I'm glad we went through this big 50-day lockout, and that was a new rule that we hammered down.
I don't get it. I still think that the visors should be grandfathered in.
So we're protecting the fists of our goons? That's what we're after? Okay.
Well, you're looking for the fair fight, but I just don't understand it. There's not really much else to say on this point except for, did you guys hear about Phaneuf against, was it Buffalo?
Yes.
No, it was against Winnipeg.
Oh, it was against Winnipeg?
So it was Andrew Ladd. It was the two captains going at it.
Yeah.
And they were both wearing visors.
So Phaneuf started the fight, and he got
what? Starts a fight. He's got a visor on, so he gets 2 minutes for roughing and 5 for fighting.
That's it.
It's typical! Montreal typical!
Oh, wait.
Wait a minute. Close enough. It's NHL typical.
Oh. You can crop that after.
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break. Ottawa gets called on it twice. And the Leafs go in it the next day, and it's just roughing and a fighting.
And does fight quite frequently enough.
He's known to drop the gloves. Yeah.
You've got Patrick Wierkosch and Chris Phillips. And we've all been hard on Chris Phillips for being too soft over the years.
Well, Chris Phillips didn't even drop the gloves first in that.
Yeah.
he didn't get his second one off until... He was trying to get his second glove off, and he couldn't get it off. Meanwhile, the other guy's throwing punches at him.
This is like the Ronaldo versus Dogovin's fight. I don't know how... I think Dogovin's got the two for instigating. I can't even remember. And Ronaldo's gloves were right off before he got into the scrum. And Wierkosch is... I'm doing the... Oh, again. But Wierkosch, he gets instigating with the visor. What happens immediately? His helmet gets popped off.
Oh, yeah. Well, Phaneuf got popped off as well, but... I'm wondering if it had something to do with the fact that both Phaneuf and Andrew Ladd were wearing visors, or that they're both the captains. I don't know.
I don't know what to think about this extra 2 minutes for wearing a visor.
It's not a priority in a rule.
That's it, right? It's not that I'm opposed to the concept, but look at your priorities, league. You're worried about the protection of your goons. What about all the players through your league who have concussions? Never mind the Senators, like what we have, like Lundin, and we have Dzerzhinsky, and I mean, they're all different cases, sure, but you had like Brad Richards almost with a concussion, and Malkin, and there's an epidemic in concussions, and this is what you want to crack down on, is people wearing their visors. Well, talk to Mark Stahl and New York Rangers about wearing a visor. And you're just making, you're almost telling your players, don't wear your visor because you're going to get penalized if you start a fight.
I'm not even worried about the 2 minutes. It's the 10 that's annoying me. You want to give him 2 minutes for starting a fight with a visor? Okay. Extra 10 for?
That hurts the team. Well, yeah, you're right, because it's two penalties for one situation, right?
Exactly. It's bad enough that you're doing two, but then you're throwing a 10-minute misconduct on it as well.
Like, is this a strategy now? You go find the star player on the opposing team and try to goad him into instigating a fight?
Well, look at the two situations with Wierkosch and Phillips. What caused those fights? A douchebag by the other team. Yeah. Shouldn't that be penalized more? I don't know.
Well, because the rats are running the league?
Yeah, I will admit I'm kind of tired of the whole, okay, there's a good clean hit on somebody and now we have to go fight over it. That's a conversation of itself, but I think in the case of the Senators, the two instances there, it was
it wasn't
questionable hit into the boards both times.
I agree, but it seems to be that the refereeing is seeing things a different way. I don't get it. Why? I'm wondering, is this going to be the new goalie interference or too many men penalty, since it only seems to be the Senators that are getting it on a regular basis? This is what we're going to be hit with?
How is 2 minutes? Nicky Fink's doing in Minnesota anyway with those penalties. Anyone look that up?
I haven't been following. Columbus is on just recently lost, but were on a five-game winning streak. So maybe he wasn't taking too many of those penalties right now. I don't know.
Okay, Pan, I'm going to call you out on this, because at the time when Phillips dropped the gloves and fought Phillips.
Yeah, with Phillips, yeah.
Your initial reaction before all this penalty nonsense was something along the lines of, what, he's dropping the gloves to defend Jimmy O'Brien and he wouldn't do it for Alfie?
Yes, I forgot about that.
All right, bring it.
Well, Alfredson never gets support from this team, right? You can break his back, you can...
Has that changed?
No.
I'm not sure if it has, but I'm wondering if it has now.
No. I haven't seen Alfie go through much this year, though.
I was going to say, I don't think people are taking as many cheap shots at him this year as they were in the past.
But it was against Ronaldo when Alfredson was the one that to go. He gets into a scrum with Ronaldo. I don't care who you are, especially when you're a big guy like Chris Phillips. You jump in and you protect your captain. This is coming from the guy that's 5'5", but that's what I would do too.
Well, your height has nothing to do with it. You would do it because he's your teammate. He's your captain. I'm not disagreeing with you, by the way. Not at all.
Go back to the rumble with Buffalo, the line brawl. Ray Emery Bihon one.
Bihon followed by Ray Emery Peters one? Okay.
Andrew Peters. One guy wearing his gloves. Chris Phillips. Mike Comrie was going at it. And you had Danny Heatley getting beaten up on, Jason Spezza getting beaten up on, and your goalie, and he's just standing around grabbing probably the smallest guy on the ice.
Hard to say.
I have no problem in calling out Chris Phillips on his tough play. He used to do it years ago. Not anymore.
Wow. I'll tell you what, these crap penalties aside, and hey, I'm with you on the not seeming to stick up for Alfie in the past thing. I don't know about this season. We haven't seen it yet, but I'm with you. We haven't seen it yet, so there's no promise that it will happen. But I do see players sticking up for each other this season. So I'd like to think that there's a good chemistry in the room. It's got to be.
I hope so.
The whole pesky thing, but.
Exactly. We'll see. There's only 20 games left in the season. How's that for a scary thought?
Isn't that crazy? 20. We're past the halfway point.
Yeah, we just started and we've only got 20 games left. So we're down into the home stretch as to who's making it in the playoffs and who isn't. We've only been playing for, 2 months? Not even? Yeah, it's crazy. The trade deadline is approaching, and there's a couple of interesting scenarios out there. There's been a lot of talk about players that might be moving around. The Anaheim Ducks just signed Ryan Getzlaf to another 7 years, I think it was, for $8 million or $8.5 million per year. And the question is going on to what are they going to do with Corey Perry, who just got a 4-game suspension for elbowing, because he's one of the probably the highest talked about. That's really bad English. He's one of the players who's been talked about the most as far as UFAs moving on trade deadline day.
I get a better question. Okay. Why did we have this lockout? You're signing, I'm sorry, Getzlaf? Great player. No, I'm not going to argue that. But you signed him for seven or eight years, right?
8 years.
$8 million, was it, a year?
Because that's what they offered him.
So he just set the bar for other, like, Getzlaf is not Crosby. Nope. Sorry. I mean, he's good. He's good. I would love to have him on my team, but he's not Crosby. You just set the bar for other contracts in the league. What the hell do we have this lockout for? Like,
well, the one thing is his contract pays him basically the same amount every year.
So, we stopped the front loading.
Yeah, we can't front load it and bring your cap number down.
He's signed until he's 35.
Yeah.
It's not unheard of.
I'm not saying it's unreasonable, but we're going to turn into a league where you have stars and you have role players.
Bucks. Yeah.
Period.
You can have a top line and 3 third lines.
Goodbye, middle class.
Yep. Well, if that's what the players demand.
Sorry. So Corey Perry. Yeah, we'll take him. We'll take him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a move, Perry.
After he gets off,
don't make a move.
After he gets off his 4-game suspension,
make a move.
No. Leave it. Wait for this.
Why do I feel like I've got one little angel on one shoulder talking in one ear and one little devil on the other ear talking? And Murray, I'm getting confused with too many voices in my ears.
It's quite
annoying. Anyway, other than Corey Perry, there are some other well-known names that are being talked about. I mean, Jerome McGinley is around there. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Iggy. Valtteri Filppula. Daniel Alfredson is the one that the TSN and Sportsnet keep saying, oh, yeah, Boston wants to take him. Guys.
Hey, I heard Mike Calmari might be on the move. Oh, wait, that was just me. Apparently.
The one senator we do know, UFA, and we do know is not coming back is Sergei Gonchar. Now, the question really is, do you want to trade him before the trade deadline and get something from him, or do you want to keep him?
If we're still in a playoff spot, keep him.
I think we keep him. I think he's more valuable to the team, even if we don't get anything from him.
If we had Carlson, he'd be on the fence.
I'd still keep him.
We need him.
Yeah.
Right now we need him.
And we signed him as a free agent. We didn't give up anything to get him.
Didn't invest anything.
Sorry, Gab. Yep. We need him.
Here's the other, because going back to Corey Perry. Because it's a lot of these, like the top UFAs, they get traded to teams for a lot. But who normally gives those or takes those players and gives up the future?
Cup contenders.
Is Anaheim not a cup container right now?
Yeah, they have the second or third best record.
You have to give up nothing to keep this player. I wouldn't move him.
I don't think they're still trying to sign him. I would imagine they're at least still trying to sign him, whether they can or sign him or not. But
having said that, somehow I have it in my mind through the ridiculousness of the organization that somehow Philadelphia is going to try to make a lunge for him at the trade deadline and the Rangers, because they just.
Rangers make sense. Philly's out of it right now.
Philly's out of it. That's why. Yeah.
But the only thing that I could see Anaheim do is if you re-sign Corey Perry and you absolutely want to get this done before the playoffs and before the trade deadline, you sign him, you got to move Bobby Ryan.
Yeah,
that's who you've got to drop him.
Make a move, Murray.
Okay, enough. Stop that. It's creepy.
What? Nobody said anything. What are you talking about?
My sister really won't appreciate this. No.
But other than with the trade deadline coming up, it's not just UFAs that are out there. There's all the talk about goalies, whether it's one of ours or whether it's Jonathan Bernier, or there's even been talk about Mika Kiprusoff and the perpetual discussion of either Roberto Luongo or Corey Schneider, because there hasn't been a major goalie move yet this year. There's lots of teams that want goaltending.
Is Anderson
or need it?
Is Anderson coming back full strength, you think?
I think that's why they're waiting too.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
You really don't want to move one of the guys now and leave you with really one.
No.
And you got to call up Lawson, and that's when Ben will really lose his mind.
Well, that's when Luke Richards comes up to Ottawa and fights Brian Murray.
You know what? Never mind this coaching stuff. I'll be your backup. you're just.
Yeah, take another goalie out of Binghamton, and I can just see him losing it.
I don't know, because moving a Kiprusoff, that's difficult because he's a starting goalie, and you don't. I don't know. It's like where's he gonna go? All the contenders, all the contenders have a goalie. Won't want him.
I was going to say the only place I can see someone like him going would be a team who's trading an asset that another team wants. I mean, Calgary's not making the postseason either, so they're selling, and they're going to want back his young prospects and draft picks. But the only team that I can see wanting somebody like a veteran goaltender like that is another non-contending team. And why would they do that at the trade deadline when they can do that at draft day or, you know, during the summer?
Well, this is a cursed season, so maybe one of the top contenders will have a catastrophic goalie injury, and then you'll see this kind of market open up.
Could be.
It could happen.
Never know. Could see some interesting buyouts for goalies with the amnesty buyouts. I can see a couple of them out there, whether it's DiPietro or Luongo or Brizgalov. I think there could be.
Yeah, Breeze is dead. Yeah. He's dead in the water right now.
And I mean,
if he stood on his head for Ottawa, but that was it.
Of course.
But
actually, with DiPietro, I don't know if you heard about this. They won't even use the amnesty buyout.
because they just want
the regular buyout. Yeah.
Oh God.
It's as to how much of a disaster.
But he has 7 years left on his contract, which means they'll be paying him for 14 years.
Yeah.
And how long is this current CBA?
I think you have to pay them anyways. It just won't count against the cap.
Oh, okay.
Right? Avoiding.
I thought it was paid out all at once rather than over time with the amnesty ones.
Amnesty buyout.
The Islanders also can't afford to pay everyone at once.
That's true. Well, they're still paying Yashin.
Yeah. But just think about that. It's like you've got DiPietro and Thomas, both his buyouts. Or actually, Thomas will be on the roster. I don't really understand that one.
Well, he's suspended.
Both of these guys getting paid and not playing on this team. You thought Ottawa was a goalie graveyard?
Yeah. And they could lose Nabokov because he's a UFA. So if they pay out DiPietro and they lose Nabokov, then they're without a goalie.
Guys, I'd like to interrupt this podcast just to let you know the final score. Pittsburgh Penguins 3, Toronto Maple Leafs 1.
Leafs suck. Second best news possible. Best news ever, Ottawa Senators win. Next best, Toronto Maple Leaf loss. That's awesome. So they're nosediving. So free Jake Gardner. Yeah, that's going to really start heating up in Toronto now. That's for sure.
Sorry, that's right. I forgot. This is the Toronto song. Where'd it go? Con los
terroristas. Enough.
I'm dancing here.
Okay, a goalie doing the chair dance thing, that's just not an attractive mental image for our listeners. Doesn't work. However, my favorite Leaf bashing of the week, I'm not sure whether this was a typo or not. And I can honestly say I don't remember where I read it. It was over the weekend or earlier this week, and I wrote it down because it was one of the best things I've seen written all year. And I don't know whether it was a typo or whether somebody genuinely meant to write this, but they were referring to Mike Komisarek be at $4.5 million in one more season after this, and John Michael Lyles, who's $3.875 million for three more seasons after this, both of whom are sitting in the press box and have been for quite a number of games. And they were referred to as the wealthy scratches.
To the long-term listeners, go back to last season's episode when I introduced Asian math. Cardinal, do you remember this one? You were there.
I remember it.
I remember being there. I don't remember what you introduced. So take it away.
These were two of the three contracts that I was just blasting them on. Just saying.
The wealthy scratches.
Yeah. I just thought that was a brilliant little term that I had to share because I don't know whether it was a typo or not.
Yeah. The other thing, I don't know if you guys saw, but Carlisle apparently on Jake Gardner, not impressed.
No.
Not impressed at all.
Meanwhile, his agent is tweeting out hashtag free Jake Gardner, and some of the sports media is going, it might be the best thing for this guy is for him to get out of Toronto, honestly. But who knows?
It's the best thing for anyone.
Good point by you. Well said. We got some email to read. I'll take the first one.
Guys, point form, please.
Yeah.
Holy hell.
Some of them are pretty long this week. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be lots of fun.
Yeah. I don't have the three sentence limit, so somebody can send a long one every week. I don't care.
You can't even get through that.
I'm not reading it. First one is from Labrew, who posts regularly in the forums. Longtime listener. Hi guys, thought I'd email the show again. I started a forum post that started to become quite a rant. I thought I could make it into a blog post, but maybe a show email would be better. Nothing beats your carefully formulated precious texts being butchered in a ghostly voice. I know, you promised it won't happen again. And I'm glad, because it was quite straining to follow it during my commute. But hey, it's the content that counts. Anyway, looking at the roster, we fans should be content with all the close games, I guess. It also means you get the feeling you're really in every game and have a real chance of winning. After all the losses in personnel, few people would be surprised had the Sens suffered blowout after blowout. They didn't, and now it hurts when we're losing all these games and don't get points for our efforts. Although I really hate to admit it, watching Wednesday's game against the hated ones, that would be the tree excrements, the trees were a better team, although the Sens got enough chances and could have won that game. It really hurts that the Sens can't play their own style. When people look at the losses of Carlson and Spezza, they try to quantify it by looking at stats and saying it hurts approximately so much. The bigger problem is, in my opinion, that the Sens are used to a Spezza or a Carlson carrying the puck into the offensive zone and distributing it from there. There is no other player on the roster that really excels at that, except possibly Milan. And he wrote it that long. But sadly, he hasn't been able to prove it yet this season. I know under the coaching of the Stash, players are allowed to play their own style and not trying to be someone that they're not. But on several occasions, I've seen Zach Smith and Turris dangling at the blue line with widely varying results. I still regard this as a giant training camp with a possible playoff spot as a huge bonus. The nice thing is we're probably getting back three key players over a stretch of 3 weeks, with 9mm being the first one. If everyone returns and provides a little spark, those close losses could suddenly turn into close wins. In my opinion, the return of Milan was quite strong, so there's hope. Keep up the good work. Labru. And as always, go Sens, go. Praise Alfie! And it's always good to see him score against the Laughs. Yes, those Laughs, who as always, suck.
That's the one thing about this team, is they are fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean...
The Leafs are fun to watch because laugh at them.
The Sens.
Oops.
There are games that feels like we have no business being in. Hey, I don't think we're going to win the cup. I don't even know if we're going to make the playoffs. It looks like we're going to squeeze in there, but they're just fun to watch them hang into these games and steal points and, they're keeping it entertainment. They're keeping it entertaining, and that's all you can ask.
I was going to say exactly the same thing. When I first heard the advertising campaign for this season where you can buy the whole seat, but you'll only use the edge, yeah. I said, oh, man, are you really going there, honestly?
Do you guys see that Sens TV kind of blooper video where they're trying to get Spezza to say ready for more? And he goes, ready for more? They're like, no. Can you say it not as a question? Okay. Ready for more? Like, no. Yeah. Just say it as a statement, not as a question. Oh, yeah, I got it. Ready for more? Oh, shoot.
At least he's not giggling through it anymore.
No. He is laughing about it, though. I don't know whether that was staged or not, but it was good. It was quite well done.
Yeah, playoffs this year, I think there's really starting to get some separation in the points.
Yep.
7 points over the 11th spot now. And I'm just hoping the Leafs just start to crumble. Actually, you know what I just thought?
They've lost, what, 4 in a row now, including tonight?
There'll be 3.
Okay.
You know what? How come no one's thought of this?
You just did.
Why have we never called the Leafs fans tree saps?
I have no idea.
I kind of like that one.
Well, run with it then.
There you go.
So they're not leafers anymore, they're tree saps?
I like blue pond scum.
Cockroaches.
Email us your best Leaf and your Leaf fan insult names. There's a sentence for you.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll go with that. Next one.
Next.
Canuck, you're up for the next one from Homer.
Oh, thank God.
Oh. Homer. This is regarding trading a goalie. By the way, you notice when we say we're going to read email, you hear this kind of paper sound? I like that. Anyway, we're old school. I think it's pretty much a given that Ottawa will trade a goalie. If not at the trade deadline, then the summer. We don't have to trade a goalie at the trade deadline if we're still in the playoff contention at the end of March and Spezza on the verge of coming back. Keeping all three goalies would be more valuable to us than the difference in what we could get in return between the trade deadline and the summer. By my count, here are many teams that could be interested. I think you're saying there are many teams that could be interested in our goaltending depth, not just teams
Neither
looking for depth.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah. Not just looking for depth in a playoff run. Team with no goalie signed this year would definitely be interested, possibly more so in the summertime. So Phoenix, New York Islanders, Columbus. Teams with only one goalie signed next year could also show some interest. Edmonton, they have Dubnyk. Florida, Clemenson. Detroit has Govstinston. That's the monster, right? The former Leaf.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, but Detroit have a really good goalie in their system by the name of Peter Mrazek.
Hmm.
He'll be their next star, I have no doubt.
Calgary has Kiprusoff, is the most one of the most expensive, $5.83 million. Chicago has Crawford at $2.6 million. Emery's a UFA. Holy crap. Tampa has Lindback. It's not been working for them. Minnesota has Harding. Buffalo has Miller at $6.25
million. Yeah.
And that's a
Don't
team
forget that, Harding's also sick, eh?
Yeah, he has MS, isn't it?
Yeah.
Harding is sick and Backstrom is a UFA.
UFA.
So teams with only one goalie, but one more, teams with only one goalie, but for one more year of this bunch, I think Washington would have the highest amount of interest. Carolina has Ward for $6.3 million. Wow, I didn't realize he's that much. Washington has Holtby for $1.85 million, and San Jose has Niemi for $3.8 million for the next 2 years. Boy, this is a stat-filled email. I don't know how well this reads, but teams with two goalies signed next year is New Jersey has Brodeur for $4.5 million, Hedberg $1.4 million, but they could be looking for depth. Of all these teams, 8 to 10 of them are probably realistically trading partners, and I'm sure that Murray's keeping an eye on all these teams looking at what they would like in return. We're already solid on defense and have plenty of prospects. Whoever we trade with, I would expect to get at least a second-line player who can give us some scoring depth in return. When I say second line player, I mean a solid second line player, not like line 2.5 player like a Foligno. Cheers, Homer. A lot of stats in your email, Homer. I'm sorry if I didn't get them across when I'm reading them, but thank you for that. Well thought out. You know, he brings up a good point. Like, this was talking about goalies, but he ends with the comment, we're already solid on defense. What was the number one concern about Ottawa before the season?
Goaltending?
We didn't have enough defense. We didn't have any depth at defense.
And hey, look at us
Binghamton
now.
Comes up and, you know.
Yeah, the defensemen have really come up. But
oh, my God.
I don't know.
What do you think?
That I have about trading them in the summer is that once this season ends, all the teams start equal again.
But they're going to be fighting the last battle. So you get a team that's knocked out or has not got in because of a goaltending issue, you're always trying to patch your last battle hole.
If the team wants to rebuild, like Florida's got to do something because Clemenson isn't a starter. Theodore is very hurt. I think this really cost them the running.
Rebuild means different things to different people, though. Like, look at Edmonton. They're on their verge of going towards a fourth first over a draft pick. How's that working for them?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That'll be new management. So they've got to blow something up.
Oil change.
But Columbus, I think, is also.
Keep going.
I was going to say, I think Columbus is probably a viable trading partner. Or because they'll certainly have interest because.
They got another Mathot down there or something we could have?
I can't think of their new GM's name. I just had it and I've forgotten it. But he.
Jarmo Kekäläinen.
Thank you. He's the guy who originally drafted Bishop when he was in St. Louis. So there could be an in there because he's a known entity who he's invested a lot of time in. So I'm not saying that Bishop is necessarily the one who's leaving, but if he was, I'd say that would be a place to certainly look at. It's hard to say. I know everybody starts in the summertime. Everybody starts as a reset and everybody's equal and so on. But everybody's, as you said, fighting their last battle. But there are some teams that already have at least one goaltender. Now, if it's only a backup, they want a starter. Depends on what they're asking or what they're offering. You never know. There's certainly a lot of possibilities, as Homer's email laid out. I think that's what the big takeaway from it is. There are a lot of possibilities. It's not, even though there's nothing going on now, I think there are a lot of possibilities. Pan, you're up next.
Okay. All right, so this one's from Boingy. Okay, so subject, email the show. Greetings to my fellow groundhogs for your local... I already screwed up. Okay. From your loyal correspondent in Toronto, the black hole that ate everything intelligent about hockey. Just sitting here going over the highlights over Friday's night victory over the Rangers. Nice to put one in the W column after one tough week. By the time you record your next podcast, the Sens will have played Boston and Montreal, so you'll have a better idea of how the week went.
Woo!
It doesn't... overtime losses. It does occur to me, though, that things aren't as bad as I feared they might have been after Carlson's injury. As I write this, three of the five games that Ottawa has lost since Carlson incident on February 13th have been one-goalers. All of them overtime or shootout losses. Well, let's add a couple more there. And of those two losses, they were not one-goalers. The widest margin was three. This is not a team that is tanking by any stretch, at least not yet. Now on to other things. Mark Stahl's eye injury, which happened 2 days before I wrote this. Ugly. And the worst part is, it will not bring the NHL one inch closer to mandatory visor rules. The moment the visor becomes optional, off it goes. I can't explain the opposition other than a misplaced sense of machismo. That certainly was the peanut gallery to which Don Cherry was playing back when he said that the only players who wore visors were Europeans and French guys. Oh, I can't read that part. Okay. Granted, yeah, censor yourself, boy. Jeez. Granted, visions aren't foolproof. Saku Koivu was almost blinded a few years ago after a stick managed to get up in his under his visor. It happens. Hockey ain't risk-free. But can you mitigate the risks? Damn straight you can, but only if you want to. The players really are their own worst enemies sometimes. 2. You know what I'm enjoying most about the shortened season? The lack of bullcrap gimmicks like the All-Star Game and the outdoor games, none of which I have any use for at all. The Arsenal game in particular is nothing but a pillow fight on skates. And I don't miss it. How about you guys? The league's realignment seems to be a done deal. Cardinal, you and I have discussed this in the forums, but I'd like to see what you think now that the real version seems to be out there. I agree sticking Tampa and Florida in the Central Division is weird, but I have to admit that it doesn't bug me that much. Anytime you base your league alignment on geography, you're going to get some oddities, because you can never get quite arbitrarily geographic boundaries to match the actual distribution of teams. That's a whole dynamic led to Detroit and Columbus being stuck in the West in the first place. Or, heck, look at Winnipeg still sitting in the East right now. Oddities abound and always will. What bugs me more is the fact that these new conferences will be unbalanced, 16 teams in one, 14 in the other. That means that it is easier to make the playoffs in one conference than in the other, which screws with the integrity of the playoffs far more than I'd like. But you know what I do like? The 1-2-3 seeding thing for division winners seems to be gone. Good freaking riddance. And I always... Whoa. Okay, I'm a little tired now. Take a nap. I always hated that third-seeded team could be 6 or 7 points behind the fourth-seeded. Dumb. Glad it's going. 4. Final thought. Could you please tell me what the criteria is for getting schnappied? It is hilarious for you guys, of course, but I can't figure out when or why that song's got played. I had to Google it to figure out what the hell it is. My 8-month-old son, by the way, thinks that Schnappy song is hilarious. I need to start singing it to him, singing him a different song when I'm feeding him. Yeesh. Thanks. Okay, I guess he asked for it there. Leafs suck diddly yuck duck. Cheers.
You did bring up a good point.
Go.
What, that Leafs suck?
Well, that too.
Realignment is a big topic, yeah, actually. We haven't got to that yet.
We forgot about that one earlier. So we can dive into it now. Go.
Okay. I'll go first. Yep. I like it for the regular season. I agree that, you know, looking at the travel, now you got that weird thing with Florida. Okay, just park that aside. We've hashed that out. But I like the idea for the regular season. What I do not like, I hate it, is for the playoffs. I hate it, hate it, hate it. I don't like this idea of playing up through your division. I feel like we're the Toronto Blue Jays in the Yankees division. We're going to come, they're going to always be playing against the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. And that aside, statistically, the Eastern Conference has 16 teams, the Western Conference has 14 teams. I'm sorry, what kind of joke league is this? Where all of a sudden in the West, you have a better chance of making the playoffs? Like, that's just simple math. I'm not Asian, I can figure that out. But I, as a Sens fan, I absolutely hate the playoff idea. We're not going to have home ice advantage. It's going to get ugly. And I don't know. Maybe we've got to get through this to have an identity. Okay. But I'm just telling you, my initial reaction is I hate it. But I'm with Alex, with Boingy here, that I'm glad they're getting rid of that 1-2-3 seeding. But I tell you what I much prefer is take the top 16 teams in the league and seed them out that way.
I like that idea, except for the fact that in the first round, you could have Ottawa playing LA.
So be it.
Well, that means that all, you know, half the playoff games start at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm okay with that. It's the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about the regular season. That's where all the travel's happening. And I can take it for a little
really
bit.
You can't really balance out the season, though, because you'd have to have every team play the other teams equally. Because otherwise, you've got teams like Pittsburgh and I guess the Rangers just beating the crap out of each other and taking points away from each other.
Well, that's good for the rest of the teams in their division, but it's not necessarily good for me as a Senators fan. I mean, it is sort of, but I'm with you on this one, Canuck. We'll leave the Florida and Tampa Bay situation aside. Having Detroit into our division, okay, so we have four of the original six in our division.
I like Detroit in the division. I think that's going to be
great.
That's
fine. But I don't like the, you have to play up through your division, and I have to admit, I still haven't fully understood how the whole wild card concept, or did that get dropped? I'm not even sure anymore for the playoffs. I'm not sold on the whole concept of, well, it helps build division rivalries. That's what you have the regular season for.
We'll have plenty of that. I can't stand the divisional rivalries. No. Do we want every round one and round two to be Montreal or Toronto?
It'll be Montreal, Toronto, Boston. It'll be one of about four teams. It's just ridiculous.
Montreal or Toronto. Every round one, maybe. Good luck.
This if is we gonna win be... some this time, I think I'd be okay with it.
I'm not. It's not about win or lose. It's the fact that I get tired enough, and I mean, I've said this before, I got tired of playing our divisional rivals eight times a season before they changed the schedule a couple of seasons ago. It was too much. And now to be going into the playoffs where we're always playing the same teams in the playoffs, that's not going to build, it may build a rivalry, it's going to kill interest. Oh, great, we're playing them again.
I agree.
Actually, Canuck, you said a really good point. I just don't remember if it was on the show, but with Boston, Montreal, Toronto, now Detroit, it's going to be very hard to have home ice advantage.
Exactly. And we're going to start building our team to defeat the other divisional rival.
And once we get out of the division, it's a different style of hockey, and where are you going to go?
I mean, you get that in the Stanley Cup final. You get the East versus West, but that's one thing, but ugh.
Yeah, round three, different story.
Maybe, you know, I personally like the idea of 1-16 seeding right across the league. Take away the conferences in the playoffs. But, okay, maybe a concession. Maybe do 1-8 seeding, but forget the divisions. At least keep that going without the 1-2-3 automatic thing. I don't know.
Well, with only two divisions, I don't think you need the 1-2-3. Just 1-8. The top eight just
top
in your
eight.
Conference.
Go.
Other points here, Boingy. You're asking me at the All-Star game. Did you guys go to the All-Star game last year?
No, I didn't.
I was in France. Oh. I watched it.
Well, I was in the city and I didn't even watch it.
I went to it. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was going to suck. It was a lot of fun.
Really?
So, yeah.
It was shocking. I regret not getting to it. It's too bad I was away, but...
No, hey. I don't know. It was in France.
It's in Paris.
It's great for the host city. It's just extra revenue. So I really enjoyed it. Ottawa's trying to get an outside game or whatever you want to call it that.
I'd go to an outdoor game.
Outdoor game. That's
yeah, I do that.
Well, the problem with Ottawa is it's going to be at Lansdowne.
That's a problem.
I'm going to have to walk there from my house.
No,
the traffic is going to be.
Oh, I think you just hurt somebody's feelings there.
Okay, that song is just because Canuck's a jerk.
Yeah, Lansdowne will be interesting, but they'll hopefully have ironed some of that out by the time we actually have an outdoor game after having football there for a little while and soccer and everything else. So we'll see.
Maybe next week, Pan, you get the button. You get to push it when you want.
Oh, you're pushing my button. Yeah.
I bet. All right. Back to me for the next email. And it's another one from Labrou. I seem to have got stuck with both of them tonight. Not stuck with, given the opportunity. That's. Make it positive.
Wake up, North America, and the Netherlands are beating you in emails.
That's right. That's right. Subject, an observation from the Rangers game. Hi, guys. It's me again. Just an observation from the game against the Rangers. And this goes to what we've already been speaking about. Those extra penalties on Phillips were ridiculous. Okay. I see why they call the instigator one because of the cleanness of the hit slash charge. Although the other guy dropped his gloves like lightning. But really. A penalty for instigating with a visor. Should Phillips really be thinking, oh, expletive, I'm instigating here. Let me remove my helmet first. No.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah, apparently so. If the league made visors mandatory, as they should, at least for new players, as those are all used to playing with it while in the minors, there wouldn't be this problem in the first place. And while we're at it, let's throw in a 10-minute misconduct because, let's see. Phillips is not yet a seasoned veteran who doesn't play important minutes for his team like the guy he fought who only played 3 shifts. And he's a guy who goes out of his way to pick fights, and he's known to pull out of that sort of crap. Yeah, that's Phillips for sure. Yeah, good. In my opinion, the league should punish the players for the things that they don't want in the game. I'd rather see them get rid of all the charging than them getting rid of the possibility for a respected veteran to stand up for his teammate. A whole lot better than those stage fights in the first ship of the game. Like those players don't wear visors, for sure. Phillips' wearing of a visor is a responsible choice, in my opinion. And what exactly are they suggesting? Are they a motorcycle-style helmet with a movable visor? Okay, wait, I'm going to start a fight. Let me flip this up here. Otherwise, I'll hurt my team more. So just hang on a second, and then I'll go with you. What was so uneven or so unfair about this situation that they couldn't leave it at 5 minutes each or 7 minutes each with a resulting 2-minute 4-on-4? This league sucks, and so do the refs. And speaking of refs, apart from this incident and a few missed calls, Gryba Slash comes to mind, I thought this game was quite well refereed. With all the complaining we normally do, this has to be admitted as well. Cheers. Labrou.
You know what I think it is?
It's typical! Montreal typical!
Nice.
Oh, that too. I think O'Rourke's stuck in the West.
I haven't heard his name in the East, and I haven't heard Tim Peel's either.
Just like how we're not concerned about the icing rule and people getting injured and the concussions, but oh man, are we looking out for the safety of our goons?
Actually, you know what? We got another email.
Did we? Okay, read that one.
From Labrou.
So he's definitely in the lead now, North America. Way to go. Trick.
All right. Hey, guys. I was about to send you a rant about the stupid league and instigating with the visor after seeing the Boston game. But then I remembered I already did. Cheers, Labrou.
Well done, sir. Well done. So that's 3 emails from one person. Okay, everybody else, feel free to chip in. chime in on what you think. There's been certainly enough going on in games or whatever we've been talking about. Throw us your thoughts.
Yeah, actually, something else that I'm interested in, I haven't talked to you guys about this, is getting maybe just kind of going around different cities again. I know we've got Dan out in Vancouver. I just contacted someone who's out in Calgary. Special delivery, send me an email because you're out in Winnipeg. Maybe we can kind of go around the Canadian teams, get Boingy back on, see different points of view from around the city, maybe do a special that way.
Yeah, for people who are in another city, tell us what the atmosphere is like for that, for the team that's actually there. We know you're a Sens fan, but what's the atmosphere and what are the thoughts about the team that's actually there?
Yeah,
well, what's it like when the Senators come to town? You know, how many are there? How many Sens fans are at a game? That sort of thing.
Yeah, and I'm really interested to know more about Calgary because it's another small market team.
So let us know, folks. Let us know. Coming week, we got three games coming up in the next little while. Only one of which is starting at 7 o'clock, as usual. Saturday, 3 o'clock game in Buffalo against the Sabres. Sunday, it's a 5 o'clock game here in Ottawa. 5 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yep, I'll be there. 319, row A, seat 6.
And he likes Creamore.
Bring the beers.
He likes Creamore. Bring the King cans. 5 o'clock against the Jets. That'll be a good game. Jets fans are fun. I've been to a couple of Jets games, and I have to say, the Jets fans are a lot of fun.
How did we not talk about that? Let's go, Blue Jays. You guys are awesome.
I love it.
Brilliant. And next Tuesday, it's a 7 o'clock game with the Senators visiting the New York Islanders. So three games coming up. It's basically a game every day. Fish sticks. The Captain Highliners. Yeah. Lots going on. Could be some interesting games coming out of that those next ones too. We can but hope. Anyway, that about wraps it up for me. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I think we've covered everything tonight.
Hey, Twitter's kind of come to a slowdown here. We're at 573. It's been a while. Tell your friends.
In spite of some of the stuff that's been retweeted, we got a couple of really good retweets in the last couple of days. So.
Well, Cardinal, you've been busy this week with the whole conclave thing, right?
Oh, my God. There's nothing worse than when I'm sitting at work and then you just see the phone absolutely blow up.
What
happened?
I couldn't help it. If a thought comes to me, I have to share it with the world. And
hilarious this week when they said the new Pope... Francis, he has a Twitter account. They're wondering what his first tweet's going to be. And I'm like, pesky Sens! Leafs suck!
Have you noticed that there are Sens players who are now using the hashtag pesky Sens?
It's awesome. They changed that on the Bell high screen thing. It's no longer tweet, you know, Bell HD screen. It's now tweet hashtag pesky Sens to get on the board.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the warning. I'll try and work that in. Because I'd like to see if we can get a tweet from Sense call-ups up on that board. I'm not
you
ashamed
did last
of a
game.
Little bit of free advertising.
Yeah, exactly. It was like 6:15, but...
Well, they sometimes show them more than once. I had one up earlier in the season that I saw during the second intermission as well, so never know. Anyway, folks, please email us at podcast@sensecallups.com if there's something you want to share with us or you want us to be reading during a podcast or you disagree with us or you have an idea that you want us to talk about.
Or write something really, really long so I can butcher it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's entertainment. You can visit the forums and join the conversations at sensunderground.com. The game threads are picking up. There's usually a fair number of people in there making snide comments or inside jokes, but it's actually a lot of fun. That's the one place that, because I'm taking game notes so often, I don't get much chance to take part in those forums. And I don't know how Russell did it. I honestly don't. He was taking great game summary notes, and he was in the forum, and he was on Twitter. I don't know.
And he doesn't have a PBR.
And he doesn't have a PBR, so.
Oh, jeez.
Well done, Russell. You get mad props.
I love coming up with the excuses so that I don't watch the, or I can't take the game notes.
Yeah, well, it's the cross I have to bear, I suppose. And as we were talking about on Twitter, feel free to contact us, follow us, and retweet us, tell your friends, whatever. Until next week, thanks for listening. Go Sens go. Hasta la vista.
Night, night.
Let's get pesky.
That's great. It's like, I'd love to go to Sweden sometime and see, that's one of the places that I want to go and visit. So she, like, she's at the computer and she's like Googling Stockholm, and she's like, yeah, and she's not the brightest girl either, but, and she's like, yeah, it's like, apparently everyone there is blonde. It's like, it's really interesting. It's like, yeah, yeah, most of them are, unless like you might have some people from Norway that'd be redheads. So she goes back to Google. Yeah. She goes back into Google and she types in Swedish girls.
Oh, she goes,
don't search Swedish girls at work.
If you'd like to keep your job, don't hit search.
Say this don't is hit not search. Something to Google image, right? Oh, that was funny.